Hello, everyone from the Philippines and abroad. This is the third episode of UX on Masal. Today, we're going to talk about the Dunning-Kruger effect and imposter syndrome. It's been a while since Christian and I launched an episode of UX on Masal. It's because we've been working a lot on the UX Plus conference. All 1,200 tickets have been sold out. So thank you so much for all of your support, and we're excited to see you. Let's start the show.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
We're back.
From the dead.
Yes. Hi, Alexis. Kamusta?
Hi, CSJ. I'm great.
What are you having for breakfast today?
So I'm eating this McDonald's thing.
From near the condo?
Yeah.
Because we didn't find food before coming here. So just fast food.
So what are you eating?
Just egg omelet, because I'm on an egg fast diet for 1 week.
Egg fast diet?
Yes. It's kind of a keto diet because I'm going to Bali next week.
Wow.
I have to be ripped.
Procrastination.
Because of eggs.
Okay, cool. So Right. Let's do a catch up.
Yes. What did you do last week, Alexis?
So last week played a lot of badminton with new people from Ateneo, and actually some of my interns, shout out to Quinn and Laura, they just finished their whole internship cycle.
Nice. How long did they take the internship?
2 months.
Were they useful?
Of course, they were very useful. Gave a lot of value to the company. And I'm excited to see them soon. How about you, CSJ? What did you do?
I had my 30th birthday last week. So I feel like I'm the oldest 30-year-old ever.
So how was your birthday?
Good, good. It was a surprise. That wasn't much of a surprise. But you were there.
Yeah.
You were there. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for the free food.
Yeah, no problem. And for the free alcohol as well. But yeah, other than the birthday, yeah, we did a lot of things in First Circle last week. We're kind of in the middle of a big transition into customer centricity, like from the top down, like going over a behavioral design process and implementing it to all our tribes, all our like parts of our company. So lots of things happening, and very exciting to be part of the CX UX team at First Circle. So there.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
We actually had our Caliber All Hands.
Oh yeah, I saw that as well.
We had a lot of reorgs happening.
A lot of people fired, let go finally.
Possibly. And some big news coming up soon. Hopefully, we will announce when it's
done. Seriously.
Seriously. Okay. I think you have some big news to share as well, CSJ.
Oh, right, right. So for UX Plus, it's crazy that this happened, but we just found a sponsor and a partner that's presenting UX Plus, and that's Caliber. No, just kidding. That's Google, finally. Thanks, Google, for this amazing opportunity.
Thank you. It's crazy.
I don't even know why Google is sponsoring. Like, I'm having an imposter's syndrome right now of UX Plus having Google as sponsor.
People will find you out.
Yeah, but then again, why not? Like, thank you, Google. It's amazing for a first time event to have a sponsor as big as Google. And we do have another sponsor, Caliber, as mentioned earlier. Our previously sole sponsor for the event. But yeah, thanks for Caliber. So we're still looking for people to join us or sponsors to join us. There's going to be around 1,200 attendees, 1,200 to 300 attendees in SMX on August 24. But yeah, that should be it for our updates.
Cool.
What's our topic for this week, Alexis?
So today, I think it's very relevant to the design industry, right? And I think a lot of people have felt this way or are usually in this kind of mindset. So today we're going to talk about imposter syndrome and the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Whoa. The Dunning-Kruger effect and imposter syndrome.
Okay, so
let's define it.
Why don't you define it?
I don't know what the definition is. You go ahead, Alexis. I might fake it if I define it at the moment.
Okay, so imposter syndrome is, it's more of feeling that people will figure you out for who you are, which mm-hmm. is like a fraud, right? Mm-hmm. But then I think this feeling is more susceptible to people who are actually high achievers,
mm-hmm.
right? They don't recognize that they actually put the right effort to be where they are right now,
mm-hmm.
right? They like downplay their achievements.
Right. It makes you doubt that you actually earn your accomplishments or mm-hmm. makes you believe that you got to where you are only by chance or pure luck. Mm-hmm. It's like an unwanted sense of insecurity to a certain extent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then what is Dunning-Kruger effect?
So the Dunning-Kruger effect is kind of the opposite. Whereas imposter syndrome is, as a person, you don't recognize that you have all these achievements. For Dunning-Kruger effect, you believe that you are more of an expert even if you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an illusory superiority. It's kind of a delusion.
Right.
But it's a difficult situation to be in because you can't recognize that you're not good because you just simply don't know that you aren't. You don't have the necessary knowledge to figure out that you're not good.
You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah. So you're unconscious incompetence.
Right. You're like Donald Trump. Yeah. Like, so proud, so feeling knowledgeable, but in reality, everyone else knows more than you,
mm-hmm.
which is the opposite of imposter syndrome, where you feel like you shouldn't get the praise or like the recognition for what you know, and you think that what you know is just the same as what everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an interesting topic, like very very relevant, I guess, to the UX crowd or like the design community. And let's get to it.
Like, so CSJ, have you ever felt like fraud or an imposter?
Nope.
No. <Just kidding>.
So, of course, like being a designer and imposter syndrome, I guess, goes hand in hand. Like you can't be a designer without having that feeling once in your life of being an imposter or having the imposter syndrome. I guess the most relevant for me, or like at least the top of my head, like I can give as an example, is when I first started out, which like I'd say most people experiences when they start out. When I started out, like I got lucky, quote unquote, to get certain clients. Probably like this was around 10 years ago already. Barely out the gate, I got really big clients like Kobe Bryant or Dwayne Wade, or like certain athletes or basketball players. And then I just felt like I was really lucky, or it's just pure
coincidence
that they found me. And I was able to work on like certain websites and branding for these athletes. And everybody was going crazy, like going crazy around me. Like praising like my work, and then in my head I just stumbled upon it, and then I just did what I had to do. Like I kept to my principles of just designing well, and it led to more and more projects. But then like I was in my own head where I didn't feel like what I've been doing at that point, because of the amount of years I've But like at that time, I was only 2-3 years into design. Started when I was 17. That's around 20. So I didn't know, like I didn't feel like I earned a lot during that time. And I guess that's the best representation of imposter syndrome. Now, looking back, I could attribute what happened to maybe just a good sense of like just hustling, or like me just trying to improve myself back then. And I didn't recognize that all the praise were good because of the fact that I was in my head so much. Mm-hmm. Because I was more concerned of pleasing myself. That sounded bad, but like pleasing my own,
your goals,
trying to hit my own goals, not trying to please everyone else. So when I like got praised, I didn't feel like it was warranted at all.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't attribute it to your own effort or ability, or at that time at least?
Yeah, I felt like my effort or ability was minimum at that time. Looking back, like I feel like now actually I'm the opposite. I feel like I couldn't do what I did 10 years ago. Like the things I did when I was younger was crazy because you don't feel like, basically you have nothing to lose. You do a lot more. You risk a lot more. Mm-hmm. Like I was doing illustrations that were so crazy. Looking back now, or like designs or websites, or pulling all-nighters that I feel like I couldn't do now. So I'm even praising myself in the past. So like just having that thought right now, like solidifies the fact that, yeah, I didn't know what I was doing back then. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to like weigh my own accomplishments back then. Mm. But then that has led me to a certain path, which has led me to now, probably.
So you think when you're having imposter syndrome, you are the expert, but you don't claim to be one because you think that everyone else is an expert?
Probably, yeah. I didn't feel like, totally. I didn't think I was an expert at all. I just felt like I was in the right place at the right time. I knew the right amount of things, but then that on its own has its own merit. Mm-hmm. Like, which shouldn't be discounted, which I guess a lot of people are feeling right now, like a lot of new designers when it's their first job. And then the pace of everything is so fast versus the pace of what you're used to, say, in college or say in your own freelance projects, where you seemingly want to catch up. And you were hired for a position, which means everyone believes in you, which puts an... Mm-hmm.
Like a pressure.
A pressure that might be like you didn't expect, right? So by default, you
feel like a fraud.
Yeah, you'd feel like a fraud. Yeah, for sure. But it's just catching up to that, really. It's being in there and then learning on the fly, or continuously learning from your peers, or like hearing feedback and learning on your own. So how about you, Alexis? Did you ever experience imposter syndrome?
Honestly, I have different moments where I feel imposter syndrome. But I think I feel it the most when I'm surrounded by extremely smart people.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this one moment when I went to Stanford ACES. So it's a program done by Stanford to immerse people in Silicon Valley culture and entrepreneurship.
Sure.
And it was crazy. Like, caliber of people that went there was amazing. Like, you'd get peers from Australia, from other countries, from India, and from China as well, Hong Kong, Singapore.
Right.
And these peers are some of the best of the best. And I definitely felt like I was out of place. Like, hey, I'm just a designer. Why am I even here? And we were required to pitch, right, an idea in front of venture capitalists. And these are like high-profile VCs. And I just didn't felt like I shouldn't be there. Like, it was just a stroke of luck that I was there. But then what imposter syndrome does do is that, even though looking back now, I think that I merited going there. Because of all the hard work that I did as a student, especially doing UX society, the impact I've made in my own local community, in school, and the amount of effort I did into learning all of the UX related stuff. If you have imposter syndrome and you don't do anything about it, it's just going to stop you from doing a lot of stuff you want to do in the future.
Like,
it's going to stop you from applying to, I don't know, more programs or even a job or even even internships.
Right.
Just because you feel like a fraud. But you don't have to feel that way.
Did you, was there ever a time that you stopped yourself because you didn't feel appropriate at any point in your career or student life?
Before starting on any new project, venture, or initiative, or goal, I probably think about it,
right?
Like, is this really for me? Am I the right person to do it? But then I quickly stop those feelings and just go for it.
Right.
Just acknowledge that, okay, I'm still learning. I'm going to learn it anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the point of feeling this way?
Actually, like at that point, you throw yourself into the problem or the opportunity more because you know from your past experience that you've learned so much more within that new opportunity that seemingly, it, like at least for me, it doesn't stop me. Like doubts don't stop me. The more doubt I have or the more discomfort I have, the more I throw myself into whichever, which is kind of stupid. But that's what I see myself wanting to do more now that I'm older, where I feel like I know a lot more. Like, literally, I know a lot more. But then, since I know a lot, I'm kind of stopping myself and I'm kind of wishing that I'm in that place where I was 10 years ago or even 5 years ago, where I didn't know a lot and I just went in like head first into opportunities or things that I didn't know. And now, like, the more you know, the more careful you are with risk or the careful you are with your decisions, which is great. Like, which is like knowing a lot more and making a decision is like how you should do it. But then there's that like great sense of like being dumb and just doing things, like the impact it does to your life and to your experience and how you value like your process and how you get to somewhere. It feels greater sometimes, but then it's
like feeling like a beginner.
Yeah,
right. I think one of the better ways to deal with imposter syndrome is to never feel like you've made it. Just always adopt like a beginner mindset. It's what almost everybody says. Just continue learning. I think another tactic to deal with imposter syndrome is talk about it with other people.
Right. I guess the best way for me that I got over it initially is just hearing it from other people that they've gone through the same thing, that everyone's just trying to figure it out as they go along. It's not just you. Like when you're so in your own head, you don't know, you feel like everyone else is having a better time than you or a worse time than you, like trying to figure things out. And when you try to seek out the experiences of other people, just talking to them and hearing that when they started or when they came to like forks in their road, like, and they had a hard time trying to figure their way out, that kind of sets you it humbles you, or it contextualizes the experience you're already having.
So it's meaning to say that it's not just you who experiences imposter syndrome. It's more of a symptom of high performers. Like, a lot of people experience it. I think it really just stems from the fact that we can't evaluate ourselves objectively, right? We're always inaccurate in how we perceive ourselves. And specifically, in the sense of the imposter syndrome, we tend to underestimate the effort that we've already done.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we don't know what the playing field looks like,
mm-hmm.
if you're already an expert,
mm-hmm.
it tends to really downplay your achievements.
Right.
But then let's talk about like the opposite, right? Which is right. the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Sure. So what, again, like refresh my memory on the Dunning-Kruger effect so that we, as with the audience, go into it at the same level.
So for the Dunning-Kruger effect...
You know more...
Yeah.
It's or like, sorry, you don't know a lot.
You don't know a lot. You don't know anything.
No, but you feel like you know a lot.
You feel like you know everything, but you don't really know anything.
Right.
So, like, you have the inability to know that you don't know anything.
Right. So this is the classic faking it until you make it. Is that true? Or, like, faking it until you make it is kind of you're conscious that you're faking it.
Yeah.
Dunning-Kruger like the middle, is... Right? Yeah. Dunning-Kruger, to a certain extent, is you don't know, really.
Like, you're completely ignorant.
Oh, yeah. And it kind of happens as well, right? Like, for designers, like... When you're, say, designing your first UI without having context of what other interfaces look like, you feel like your UI is the bomb, like it's gonna be the best. But then when it comes to just UI work, it becomes subjective based on other people's experience. So it really like it makes you look dumb.
I think possibly another word for it is, or another phrase for it is, unconscious incompetence.
Okay.
Right? So, like, for me, when I was starting out in doing user interface design, I felt like I was really doing, like, the bomb.
Right.
Like, oh, right. shit. Like,
yeah.
I do great UI. But when I met other people who were really more talented than me, like, when I got to my first internship with you,
mm-hmm.
like, you told me that my work was shit, right?
Yeah, it's shit.
And I just realized that, oh, shit, like, I'm really incompetent at this. And then the more people I meet, I realize that, okay, I didn't know that there were principles behind this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was starting out, I felt like when I eyeball my design,
mm-hmm.
right, I felt that it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like an illusory superiority. I was delusional.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that there were grid systems. There were things like modular scale for
like type, font pairing. For,
yeah, font pairing.
Scale, yeah.
And like your own sense of aesthetic. That also comes into doing the UI design.
Right.
And doing spacing.
Right. Right.
There are tons of other concepts that I only recognized when I got feedback from other people. But right. then if you don't, like, you're just going to get stuck in that bubble.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess the best way to get over Dunning-Kruger, just from your example, is to be aware of your Dunning-Krugerness, or like be aware of your own perception or like the distortions around you, like your unconscious incompetence. Just being conscious of your incompetence is the best first step, and staying in that unconsciousness in the shortest amount of time you can, like I guess further than the your career, you tend to notice that you get a better sense of that you don't know everything. You go in
mm-hmm.
each project or each phase in your career a bit more humbly than before, mm-hmm. which is amazing for UX as a profession. Yeah, and we're kind of in a weird place, like UX or UI or like product design has started in that output, right? Like in the expectation that we deliver just UI, like just the end output. We go in the process where we're further down and we're trying to put ourselves more in the middle, and the expectations of you being a designer now is you should know a lot more. Like, you should have a wide range of expertise or knowledge because you're not just an executor, you're a facilitator. But then...
It's actually a bit more difficult now, right?
Yeah. Like,
the expectations are higher.
Yeah. Like, we wanted to do this. Like, this is why we became UX designers rather than just UI or, like, just graphic designers in the first place, right? You want to put yourself out. in the middle and be a facilitator, but then the pressure is on you to understand so much more than just design, like data, working with others, communication,
soft skills, yeah.
Soft skills, highly technical things, unit economics,
fixing your attitude,
fixing, yeah, like a lot of different things, from very difficult, like hard skills, to like the most basic soft skills. So I guess UX designers are in a very weird spot where you experience both Dunning-Kruger and imposter syndrome at very varying levels. Mm-hmm. It's just up to you to be in that middle, actually. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah.
So I think all people have their blind sides, right?
Right.
They don't know that they have gaps
mm-hmm.
in between the different skills that they have. They don't know that, okay, I actually suck at this.
Right.
I mean, it takes a high level of self-awareness to be able to admit that,
mm-hmm.
oh, I'm actually weak at this.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I should actually work on this part of the design process.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I need to understand more about research. I think at the end of the day, it's just more about reflecting a bit more, getting more feedback from your mentors
mm-hmm.
and more people who know more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And just reflect on, okay, how can I improve this part of me a bit more than yesterday? It's like, it's just really a continuous learning process. I think it all boils down to that. Being able to admit that you don't know everything,
mm-hmm.
regardless whether you have the Dunning-Kruger effect or
yeah.
the imposter syndrome.
And like at the end of the day, feeling lost or like feeling uncomfortable is what makes good designers great, or like what makes good designers like even good designers in the first place. That discomfort and self-awareness allows you to seek more than what you currently know, whether it's more awareness into your own self that you're doing shit, like you don't know what you don't know, like just know. Like know what you don't know. And then on the other opposite side of it, the imposter syndrome, like being aware of your own accomplishments and your own effect, and being really conscious to improve yourself, or like just take compliments in stride, or like take criticism in stride. That's really great things to do to improve your state, your current place in your own career. Yeah.
So I have an example, right?
Sure.
So I'm doing this new service, right, as a design coach for Spectre.
Yeah.
And like any normal person would feel like, okay, how am I even a coach?
Right.
Right. Not everyone is a coach, and you're highly susceptible to tagging yourself as a fraud or as an imposter. But the strategies that I've made to combat that is, hey, why don't I take a look at all the other people that I've coached or mentors throughout the years, even if I was just a student, and see where it got them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So taking a look at your previous work helps a lot. And in terms of the Dunning-Kruger effect, right, there might be an illusory superiority for me, like when I think that, okay, I know how to coach, but I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
So that led to me beginning an intense learning spree of mm-hmm. how to coach people.
Right.
I bought like 5 books mm-hmm. on coaching. I'm reading this like 400-page coaching psychology book.
Okay.
It's very academic. I've been looking for coaching programs to do. I've been connecting with
sure
people who have certificates from the International Coaching Federation.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really just more of giving yourself permission
right.
to learn. Because
yeah.
if you give in to imposter syndrome, like you're not going to get anywhere.
Right. Like it's a pendulum swing of ambition and knowledge to a certain extent. I had the same feeling like doing workshops, where I've done a lot of talks, but I haven't done a lot of workshops. And like, early this year, I went into the same learning spree as you did. Like, okay, like I think I know UX design, but like I know it by experience, but not academically, or at least enough to teach other people. So it was an inward look into myself, where what do I really know? And who gives me the permission that I should teach? Mm. Like, should I give myself permission? So my ambition at a certain point was more than my knowledge. And I had to balance that, or like I had to counterbalance myself, basically. And just going in there, just teaching people allowed me to learn on my own. And then that got me to a place where I kind of found happiness in teaching, joy in seeing other people learn and trying to find a new passion or like a new thing I can hold on to in my career, in my design career. It's not just me doing designs on my own. It's multiplying what I already know to other people, whether it's within a team, but now within like workshops, and now in what we're doing in conferences. So yeah. And without that ambition, like without that lack of knowledge, I wouldn't have gotten to where I'm at right now. So having that imposter syndrome, or having that Dunning-Kruger effect, it's not really a bad place to be in. Like, it's actually, it might even be a catalyst for you to move forward in your career. It's just that you have to be more aware.
Just use the discomfort.
Yeah.
To your advantage.
All right.
Like, if you feel that you're a fraud, then do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah.
Yes. That should be it.
That should be it.
For this episode of UX Almusal.
UX.
Yes. I guess for everyone listening, we'll see you very soon. Or hopefully everyone. And, you don't have to, but we'll see you very soon in UX Plus on August 24. It's been a tough tough organizing this conference, but it's been really rewarding for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The expenses are piling up.
So, but it's all good. I think we're excited to have the event.
Cool. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.